This morning we're looking at another part of our message from last week, kind of a continuation on dwelling on, this is called dwelling in Jesus' love continually, and our scripture this morning is taken from John chapter 15, a very familiar passage which tells us that Jesus is the vine and we as the followers or believers are the branches. And we need to always be continually attached, bearing fruit in His name. So if you'll follow along with me with verse 7, first of all, and I'll read through 11. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. So Jesus says, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And that's true. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that your joy and my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full or complete. And that means under perfection. So as we look at this passage of scripture this morning, we're going to learn that fruit bearing is a byproduct of abiding in Jesus, as he said. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And we can't. We can't do anything apart of Jesus' love, abiding in his words. Jesus often spoke with the disciples, and we are his disciples, and God's word speaks to us in that manner. Oftentimes, they would go about doing great things, following Jesus and watching him and listening to his words, praying and meeting the people's needs who would come. And oftentimes, I think, reason Jesus would say, oh, ye of little faith, or you need to be praying and abiding in my love and my commandments, so that you will be able to continue to provide and help those in need. And Jesus would tell them, and that's why this verse right here is so important. Apart from Jesus, we are not successful in anything that we do. We have to abide in him. So having an inner relationship with Christ is very important. As a branch is nourished and strengthened by the vine, that's where it gets its nourishment, as the sap flows through the vine into the branches. Now, and to be connected to the vine means that life of Jesus is flowing through us, in us, and through us, and this leads to fruit bearing. So the more we abide in Christ and the more we depend upon Christ in his indwelling in us and abiding in us, we will see fruit develop in our life. It's just like nurturing a fruit tree or any kind of tree that provides fruit or something that's edible. That it has to be nourished, it has to be taken care of, it has to be abiding in the nourishment that keeps it healthy and full and strong in its fruit bearing. So Jesus concludes the image of the the vine and the branches in these verses by drawing out some of the results of coming that come from remaining and remaining and abiding in Him. Many of which repeat what we already have learned in John 14 in previous weeks on chapter 14 tells us as well as what we need to be doing as Christians. So first of all, let's look at abiding in the Word. And this is very, very important. I cannot stress the importance, and that's why Jesus in John chapter 14 says you need to abide in my words. You need to keep my words. You need to remain in my words. Without abiding in the words, you know, we don't get the instructions that we need each day to bear fruit in our life as Christians. And prayer is a very important part of this, asking the Lord, you know, how can I be a better believer, a better servant? How can I bear fruit in your name? And verse 7 here compares remaining in Jesus with remaining in his word. And I want to look at this verse again. We need to keep this fresh in our heart and our mind. Because Jesus says, you know, it's impossible. Apart from me, you can't do anything. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So Jesus is giving us an invitation to come to him. Now, what better invitation than we can get to Jesus said, whatever you ask, you come to me and abide in me and in my words. Because he's encouraging us to come to him. And sometimes we don't do that when we need to do it the worst. So keep that in mind in this verse 7 here, what Jesus is saying. And keep in mind too, effective prayer is based on our relationship with the Lord, on faith in Christ and his words remaining in us. That's very important. And let us not overlook the importance of the reference here where he says, my words. Jesus says, and oftentimes Jesus said, you know, I don't do anything except what the Father tells me to do. So that tells me that Jesus is abiding in the Father. The one who gave Jesus the words to speak to his disciples, to us, through the words. That's why he says, abide in my words, because I'm abiding in the Father. Now, I don't do anything on my own initiative. I don't do anything without the Father telling me what I need to do. So if Jesus said those words, how much more do we need to take heed to ourselves? So looking at this, the teaching of Christ is very important. It's important. He taught in practical ways that draw people to him because he was willing to meet their needs. He was willing to meet them right where they were. He loved them unconditionally, and they knew that. So the teaching of Jesus is important. The Lord Jesus lives and works in us only if we are continually abiding and meditating in his words. So if you and I are abiding in Christ, and when you look at the word logos, that's the Greek word for the word that Jesus used, we will continually abide in the word in that rhema. Rhema is another word used for word, because it is the way God speaks to us, and we want to hear his voice so that we may know how to obey it. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and listen. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know Jesus' words, his commands. They're always fresh. This is nothing old. it's always fresh. Every time you read the Word, it's something fresh, something you're going to learn new that you can apply and use it in your daily life. There's not a day that doesn't go by that I'm in the Word every day, reading and studying, not just prepare for the message as I stand here before you, but I've got to be fed myself in order to feed you and teach and preach the Word in a way that it's understandable and know how God is going to work in not only my life, but all of our lives as Christians. That's why it's John 14 and 15 is so important for us. Our priest from 1 John, and now I'm in the Gospel of John. That was last week. But this is so vital to our learning and abiding in Him. Now, look at verse 8 here. Jesus teaches us that the proof of discipleship is spiritual fruit. And also another place that this is mentioned is in the Beatitudes. Jesus talks about the spiritual fruits in Matthew chapter 7 verse 20, where He says, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples." So if we want to prove that we are a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're going to bear fruit. I mean, that's plain and simple. That's pretty profound, but it's true. If that's what Jesus says here, if my Father's going to be glorified by this, then you'll bear fruit and it'll prove that you are My disciples. Now, the branch, we are the branches, right? Heavenly Father, He is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. And the branches produce what the life flowing through it, its limbs, empowers, which is from the fruit of the vine. Jesus being the vine. We are the fruit from the vines. And I've often used that example, a symbol of the Holy Spirit, like the sap running through the tree branches and so forth, helps produce fruit. The Holy Spirit moving in and through the vine, through Jesus into our lives, we bear fruit. And the disciple connects to into a relationship of love both with Jesus in verse 9 and in verse 10, the Father, out of which is transforms our life, fruit-bearing life, and it will flow. It will flow freely. And God will be glorified by our lives, by believers, by the fruit of what we do, who are abiding in Christ. As we're abiding in Christ, we're abiding in His words. So they go together. Abiding in Christ is abiding in His words, in His concepts. Okay, now the fruit our Heavenly Father is looking for is what? Spiritual fruit. And the Lord Jesus is looking for more than just leaves, right? He's looking for more than just leaves. Mere words professed by Christians. He wants us to mature in Him and bear spiritual fruit. Therefore, the Father, like a good farmer, will do whatever is necessary to make fruit or help the tree to bear fruit. Wednesday night in our Bible study, it came up about fruit bearing and so forth. And as I was thinking about that, about what causes fruit trees and things not to bear, they kind of get stalemated, or they just quit producing fruit. And I've experienced that myself, Brenda and I, with our fruit trees and so forth, and we had to prune them back and do whatever's necessary, spray them and so forth. But experts have found, and it's worked so many occasions, that when trees quit bearing fruit, they will take an axe and take a big whack at the base of the fruit tree and make a big indention in it with the head of the axe to shock it, to bring it back to life. And they have found that that works in most cases, and the next year bears more fruit. You think about that. And oftentimes, I was thinking about this illustration and reading about how farmers and those who raise grapes and different types of fruit, how they know what to do. Oftentimes, God uses trials as an axe in our life. I'm trying to make it simple and plain. It's about, with the symbol Jesus is using here, our suffering as a pruning knife, so that we may stop channeling our energies into pursuit of temporal things. And that's what I believe happens. So when you look at sorrow, tribulation, ill health, and disappointments have a way of stimulating spiritual growth and fruitfulness in us. And our attention is then redirected into eternal things when he prunes us back. And we produce the fruit of righteousness that glorifies God's name. Look at it this way. Spiritual fruit often comes through the pruning of the knife of affliction. And this is sometimes looked as a fruit of suffering. That's not a negative thing, but that's something that helps us to realize that we need to be pruned sometime in order to bear more fruit for the Lord. Okay, we talked about abiding in the Word. And Jesus also says something about abiding in love in verses 9 and 10. And these are two really good passages of Scripture, abiding in Word, abiding in His love. And this is not obligation on our part. Jesus turns from the obligation of his disciples to abide in his word to his amazing love for them, for us. In verse 9, he tells them to abide in his love for them. Abide. Now, it says, just as a father has loved me, Jesus is saying, my heavenly Father, he loves me. I have also loved you, abide in my love. Now, what Jesus is doing here, he's declaring that he loves us exactly like the Father loved him and sent him into this world to bear the sin of us. Jesus was motivated to remain faithful and obedient because of the Father's love for him. That's what motivated him, because he knew the Heavenly Father loved him as he loved us. He told the disciples, I love you. I lay down my life for my friends. And he loved the Father. Now, that's a deep love. How deep the Father's love for us? That's deep, isn't it? I mean, that's so deep, it's hard to comprehend that fully. But we can understand it because Jesus tells us so. Now, we too are motivated by the wonder of Jesus' love. which is patterned after the Father's love in its quality and extent. I mean, the extension of his love to us. And we're encouraged not to break from that love of Jesus for us, but to live in it. Live in it. Experience the fullness. To have that abundant joy that Jesus talked about here in this chapter 15 of John. So we can have abundant love and joy in our hearts. Now, question. Have you ever thought about the significance of the words, Jesus loves you? Yeah. Have you ever thought about it? The abundance of that statement, the significance of those words. I mean, it should lift your spirits. And nobody else loves you. You know, Jesus loves you, right? Why? Because he died for you. He died for me. He died for all of us. And can anything be more simple yet more profound? Consider it what it means to have the Lord of all things love you and call you by name. Think of the comfort in knowing that the Lord has you in his best interest. I often say that. He does have us in his best interest. And reflect on the security of knowing that the good shepherd, the great shepherd, all great shepherd, the Lord is our shepherd, is watching over you and me continually. Yeah, we are always in his presence, always in his mind. Consider what it means that the Savior cared enough to die on the cross for you. Boy, think about it. Jesus loves you. And think about what the Apostle Paul asked in Romans 8:35. We talked about this Wednesday night. Sometimes scriptures just pop in my mind, and I just quote them and say them because it has a specific meaning at the moment in time. That's why it's so important to learn scriptures, memorize scriptures. And Apostle Paul in Romans 8:35 says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Nobody. The answer is nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Vicki mentioned, I like that last verse she said, and that's Romans 8:39. That's what that verse says. Nothing be able to separate us from the love of Christ. So he loves everyone as if there were one of you, the only one to love, right? Think about that. That's how great his love is. Just imagine what it means to have someone like that love you. And it means life and peace and hope, and it means that joy. And we feel the warmth of Christ when we obey his commandments to love and serve others. That's the way to stay in the sunshine. And I could say that says S-U-N, but in Jesus' is sunshine. He is the light of the world. We are the little lights, and we are to let our light shine. Now, let's look at the abundant joy. Not only God's word, but his love, abiding in his word, in his love. But this is the benefit of abiding in Christ, in his words. We get to experience the joy of it all. And as you abide in Christ and become spiritually fruitful, the natural result is joy, according to verse 11. And it tells us, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. So, it's Christ's joy living through our lives, which brings us that abundant joy, which helps us to bear fruit, and that your joy may be made full in Christ Jesus. Man, it didn't get any better than that. And then also, the peace promised in verse, and I was referring to John 14 a while ago, but verse 27 is where it talks about peace promise is now enhanced by verse 11 here in chapter 15 by the joy. See how the two go hand in hand? Peace and joy. And as verse 11 indicates, joy is the byproduct of obedience in Jesus Christ. He has spoken all these words in order that his joy, his perfect joy, might be in us, in his disciples. And he was speaking to his disciples at this time, radiating the love and the joy that he experienced by being their Savior. It is, as Romans chapter 5, it's much more than mere laughter or even happiness. Joy is. And it's a life that is at rest in the Lord. That's what joy is. We are resting in the Lord. That's what brings us joy. If we're resting in anything else in this world, it's not going to be joy. It might be happiness for a while, but happiness doesn't last, does it? But our joy, which is an abundant joy, will always last all the way through eternity. And when life is going well, it's easy to feel elated, isn't it? But when it's not, it's not. So when hardship comes, most sink into despair. But what we need to do, as we continue to abide in the Word and in Jesus, then our joy will always keep flowing. So true joy transcends the rolling waves of all the circumstances that we will ever encounter. All right. Give us the abundant life, what this verse says here. All right. And as we experience the joy, when Jesus dwelling in Christ means living in his words, living in words leads to communion with Christ, which will make us fruitful and prove that we are his disciples. God is love. Amen? He is love. And the love of Christ leads to obedience to Christ. Love of Christ. That's where it leads. It takes us to the obedience which Christ is looking for in our lives. So to sum this up, this love, it unites us, it strengthens us, it builds our relationship with Jesus Christ, and it helps us to be more dependent as disciples, as Christians, upon the Lord. There's two things here that I get from the results of this message. That abiding relationship with Jesus. And there's two things here that happen. Fruit and joy. We bear fruit, and at the same time, we have that joy. That abundant joy that Jesus is talking about. Doesn't get any better than that, does it? When we're most joyful is when we are abiding in the words of Jesus and abiding in his words. And that's why Jesus said, it was a joy for me to come from heaven to the earth, knowing that he was going to die for the sins of the world. He said he counted a joy. Did he count a joy that he was going to be dying for the sins of the world? He counted it a joy to be obedient to the Father, because he knew why he was coming. and he was being obedient, that's what he said, I count it a joy. Not a joy in the sufferings. None of us joy in sufferings, do we? But we can look far beyond those circumstances into the joy that we have in Christ Jesus, that he will see us through any of those things, and the end result is eternal life, then it makes it worthwhile, doesn't it? Those temporary things. But we know those are not going to last. But the eternal things are forever. And that's what will last eternally. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the eternal joy that we receive by being believers in you, that we're a part of your kingdom. And we became a part of your kingdom the minute we said, Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my personal Savior. And that's when the joy began. That's when we were saved, past, present, future. And we thank you, Lord, that nothing can separate us from you, from your love. Nothing can separate us from the joy we have with you. And Lord, we come to the time of our close of our service where we offer an invitation. It's not mine or the church's, it's your invitation. But we want to be faithful and obedient to carry out your commands in each service, providing a way to you. The altar of prayer, the place where we find contentment and peace, and where you meet us there. And you take away the burdens of our sin. And we can do that anywhere, but nothing like at the altar. When you see that, Lord, you're blessed, knowing that we mean business, that we truly are brokenhearted, and understand that we must confess and repent of sin. We're all guilty. We all come short of your righteousness. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you didn't come into this world to condemn us, but that we might have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. May this invitation be a time to examine each and every one of our lives and ponder upon or reflect upon our obedience and our abiding in you and in your word. Are we doing that daily? If not, right now is a time to renew and say, Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to make it a daily practice, a daily part of my life to spend more time with you in your word, so that I can live up to John chapter 15. Well, you are the vine, I am the branch, and the Holy Spirit running through the vine into our lives, we produce fruit. If that's our desire, Lord, may we make that commitment right now as we sing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.